Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So thanks to several posts from listeners to your uncommon economic indicators, we're going to take a closer look at the health of the advertising industry. Many of you have sent us photos or stories telling us you notice cutbacks in advertising, less junk mail, fewer catalogs, skinnier magazines, and empty billboards. Sarah Crofts and Evan Bray both wrote in to our Uncommon Economic Indicators page saying they have noticed empty billboards from Interstate 287 to the Belt Parkway and the BQE. In March, Frederick Selby added, "There is a billboard above the 3rd Avenue Bridge that is still advertising a History Channel special premiering on January 4th. And Kimberly Mocker told us about a surprise she got from one billboard. She wrote, "While riding on the highway in Michigan, I noticed a billboard for poopycredit.com. I did a double take. Never in my life had I encountered such a rude and crude billboard, but I chalk it up as a sign of the times." Well, nothing makes a statement quite like a billboard, so what does an empty billboard or one advertising a credit reporting service say about the recession? Our guests are doing something a little different with billboards. There are a number of digital billboards up in Times Square right now that are displaying art, specifically the film Underwater Ballet by filmmaker Liz Goldwyn. She is here with us now. Hi, Liz. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. And this is the first time Clear Channel has ever collaborated to show art instead of advertising on its billboards. To tell us why the company is donating ad space for art, we have with us the president of Clear Channel Spectacolor, Harry Coughlin. Harry, welcome to you to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Liz, what does Underwater Ballet look like on billboards in Times Square?
It's pretty amazing. There are actually 86 digital billboards up in Los Angeles right now with Clear Channel showing 8-second stills from the film, because you're not allowed to show moving images in L.A. because it's a car culture, moving violation.
But what are moving images other than a lot of really fast-moving stills?
They're not fast-moving stills. They're 8 seconds held in between the rotation of, like what you were saying, you know, not poopy credit, but insurance advertising and McDonald's. So it looks very different. And to see it in the context of Times Square, the whole six-minute piece moving with just thousands and thousands of neon lights, it's pretty incredible, and it's a bit quieter than all those bright lights. So it's a nice...
And Harry Coughlin, what prompted Clear Channel to get involved in this?
Well, we have a long history here in Times Square of engaging in public art and community activation. So just to take a step back and speak to the one point about unsold or unbought space, on this particular display in Times Square, we consider ourselves to be curators of the world's largest outdoor art gallery, and we have always built in provisions for public service, public arts, and items of that nature. So this is actually something that we do through community support, and we have built into it, as opposed to being unsold. We forego the opportunity to provide this good community support mechanism.
You're saying this is not because it's tougher to sell billboard space right now?
That's correct.
Tell us about the technology behind the digital billboards, Harry.
Well, the display in this case for Underwater Ballet is state-of-the-art, and as you know, Underwater Ballet is using state-of-the-art camera equipment, and we thought that there was no better venue or medium to showcase such a beautiful piece of art.
Liz, how is a digital billboard useful to display your film?
Well, the film was shot with the Phantom camera, which is the most it's the most advanced high-def camera. It's not really on the market. It shoots at 1,000 frames per second, normal frame rate being 24. So it captures all the movements the naked human eye can't see. So to be able to project, it's really meant to be projected large-scale. So to be able to project it large-scale on such a high-quality digital LED board in the middle of Times Square is kind of like the ultimate wet dream for me.
Harry, are you planning to replace some more old billboards, maybe some more that are not being used, with digital displays rather than, the old-style sort of regular billboards?
Well, that's a great question. I think that in the instances where the digital application lends itself to an audience where it can be activated very well, we would do that. But I am hesitant to see Times Square turned into nothing but digital billboards. I think that Times Square needs a broad scope of all the different technologies available, digital just being one of them.
Are we going to see it more out on the highways, or is it too expensive for those?
I think where it's applicable, it can. I know that I don't dwell in the highway space that much, but I think that where it can be converted, it's subject to the regulatory requirements. I think there's always an applicability to do so. I think that there's a great benefit to communities to having digital billboards, whether it's public art, Amber Alerts, community activation, in addition to the advertising space.
So, Liz, you talked about the restrictions on being able to show your moving picture as a moving picture. So why public art instead of a gallery where people could hear and see without the interference of Times Square and all those rules?
Well, and in Times Square, you can actually, through midnight this Wednesday, twice an hour, 10 minutes past the hour and 40 minutes past the hour, you can see the whole six-minute film. And there's a phone number at the bottom of the screen that you can call in and hear the audio. For me, I did have an option to show it in a gallery. I felt that I wanted to take this work to the streets. I want it to reach a broad audience. Galleries can be elitist. I think we need to be able to use art and museums and galleries as an educational tool. And I think what better way to do it by bringing it into this commercial center in the center of New York City where people can be surprised by it. They don't even have to make an effort out of their daily routine to see some art. It's brought directly to them.
All right. Liz Goldwyn made the film Underwater Ballet. Harry Coghlan is the president of Clear Channel Spectacolor, which does these digital billboards. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
And listeners, you can continue to post your uncommon economic indicators, anything you see in your life or in your neighborhood, to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We also have lots of photos up there, as well as your stories and some videos, too. So contribute and see all the hundreds of posts up at your uncommon economic indicators at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And related to this, we were talking earlier about changing neighborhoods, and our final guest is an artist who thinks the visual information that we encounter in a community should reflect what's important to the people who live there. Jordan Seiler is founder of the Public Ad Campaign, a group of artists who hijack outdoor advertising with their art to add new ideas to the places where they live. Jordan, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me on.
So how does an artist in the Public Ad Campaign decide where to put your art? Do you look at a Clear Channel billboard that has something on it that you don't like and say, I'm going there?
Well, to me personally, any advertising space in the public environment is kind of fair game. But most recently, a project that involved quite a few people in the city targeted specifically an NPA city outdoor advertising locations. And we did that because they were actually illegal in the first place, which gave us a level of impunity to be able to kind of white out them.
What does that stand for?
NPA City Outdoor. I'm actually not sure what NPA stands for, but they're the company who operates street-level billboards, mostly in Manhattan and a few in the outer boroughs, that basically post up concert ads as well as iPod ads and things of that nature.
Okay, so they may dispute your characterization of their legality, but what did you do?
Basically, we set out on April 25th to whitewash about 130 street-level billboards, of which we successfully whitewashed about 120. And then a group of artists and non-artists alike went back to those locations and wrote the messages that they wanted to see in their public environment.
Did anybody prosecute you for this?
Not me personally, but there were four arrests involved in the project. We're still in the process of kind of dealing with the legal ramifications of that, but
everything seems
to be okay.
Do you see it as an act of civil disobedience?
Yes, we do see it as an act of civil disobedience, but, you know, with the city at heart and on our minds, basically, you know, we went out as a kind of community organization in some ways to be able to free up this space for public communication. Many of the billboards were actually left white with the intention of, you know, anybody being allowed to then come back and use these message boards.
Describe for us your idea of a healthy public space.
A healthy public space is a public space in which visual interaction by public individuals isn't criticized and or kind of criminalized. Basically, I'm under the belief that physically interacting with your public space is actually a very healthy thing to do as a citizen. It makes you a more invested and more caring person for your neighborhood.
Does it ever cross the line into vandalism, in your opinion?
It does, and it's a very hairy situation when you get into that, but I believe there's some sort of negotiation that can happen, and you know, the public can figure out a way to curate its own visual environment.
Jordan Seiler, the founder of the Public Ad Campaign, thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hope you'll join us tomorrow for our first Brian Lehrer Show broadcast from the brand new Jerome L. Green Performance Space here at WNYC. We have Paul Krugman. We have a panel of Mexican New Yorkers talking about Mexican New York. We have the finalists in our Brian Lehrer Show Satire Slam, and the live audience at the Green Space will vote the winner, so tune in tomorrow morning. Megan Ryan, Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program with Annie Schreffler and intern help from Justin Pastana. Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.